You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. On today's show, we'll recap all the action from Week 3 in the SEC. We'll give you our winners, our losers, and some honorable mention players. Also, two really epic games from the weekend that lived up to the hype with Florida and Alabama and Auburn up at Penn State. Also, is Georgia maybe the best team in the country now through 3 weeks? We'll run through it all. I am Chris Gordy. Be sure to follow Locked On SEC for free wherever you get your podcasts. Get the latest episode of this show as soon as it comes out each and every day. And a quick reminder, no better place to get all the news on the Big Ten Conference with Nate Dickinson and the Locked On Big Ten podcast. You get Locked On Big Ten on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's jump into it. Plenty to recap and discuss.
Winner. And now, your winners of the weekend.
Real winners win.
All right, our first winner of the weekend, we start off with both Alabama and Florida. I know this sounds like a cop-out to say that both of them are winners this week. But first off, Alabama a winner because they found a way to win in a hostile environment with their freshman quarterback, Bryce Young, who was poised, made some great throws under duress. Alabama jumped out to an early lead, and man, they had to protect that lead in the second half because Florida was feisty. You got to give Florida a lot of credit. They were over a 2-touchdown underdog to the behemoth that is Alabama, and they came a 2-point conversion away from possibly sending this one to overtime. Had a chance to get a stop late, maybe get the ball back and get a game-winning field goal late. Weren't able to do it. I know we don't do moral victories here, but Florida's ability to run the football, they ran for over 245 yards on that Alabama defense. Emory Jones made some really nice throws in the second half. Gators take the loss, but they have a lot to be optimistic about. Jones completed 10 of his last 14 attempts, completed the last 5 in a row, and 7 of those last 14 throws turned into first downs. You have to wonder what could have been if Anthony Richardson was able to play at all in this one. Florida kept him out of precautionary reasons after tweaking that hamstring late last week. Wasn't a big fan of the 2-point conversion call by the Gators to try to tie the game. It was one of those read options where Emory Jones could either hand it off to the back or keep it, and he waited too long to make the decision, and Bama stuffed it. But Florida, get this, they held Alabama to 91 rushing yards, the fewest for Alabama since week 2 of 2019, and only the second time Bama's been held under 100 yards rushing in their last 95 games. Florida also snapped Bama's 22-game streak of gaining at least 400 yards of offense. A lot to be happy about if you're Florida. You just didn't win the game. An announced attendance of 90,887. It was the fifth largest crowd in the history of the Swamp. The fans brought it. Bama had some communication issues at times. Aaron Suttles, who's on the Alabama beat, said that is the loudest football game he has ever attended. And for Alabama, look, it survived in advance. Every season is going to be difficult. You may not dominate every opponent this year like you did last year, but the point is, keep winning, find ways to get the W, and Alabama did that on Saturday. Will Anderson, who was banged up last week, really played well for Bama. He limped off the field after the game. Sounds like he's going to be okay, but it was Bama's 8th straight win over Florida, their 32nd straight win versus an SEC East opponent. That's ungodly. It's ridiculous. It just shows what a machine Nick Saban has created out there in Tuscaloosa. They should be happy at least getting the win. Next up, winner of the weekend. I'm going with Georgia's defense. Look, go ahead and just pencil them in just about every week to this category. Zeb Nolan started the game for the Gamecocks, completed a 61-yard pass play to Josh Van early on. But a few plays later, Zeb Nolan gets his hand stepped on. So Luke Doty comes into the game, making his first appearance of the year. The Georgia defense held South Carolina to just 214 total passing yards, just 82 rush yards on 34 carries. That's less than 2.5 yards a carry. Forced a fumble on Doty, intercepted him once, sacked him 3 times. To start SEC play and hold your opponent to under 300 yards of total offense, Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart really working with a loaded defense this year. Georgia wins 40-13, a trip to Vandy coming up next. A good game to try to impress top recruit Arch Manning, who was in attendance for the Bulldogs. Next up on our winners list, I'm going with Matt Corral and the Ole Miss offense. Look, it might seem like a little bit of hyperbole to say the Ole Miss offense is unstoppable. And I know they were playing Tulane, don't get me wrong. But this Ole Miss offense looks to be one of the best in the country. Matt Corral definitely has his name up there on the Heisman watch list. On Saturday, he was 23 for 31, 335 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, no INTs, 13 carries for 68 yards, and 4 rushing touchdowns. So he combined for 7 total touchdowns on Saturday. First player in SEC history to record 3 passing touchdowns and 4 rushing touchdowns in the same game. Tim Tebow never did that, folks. Ole Miss, they have gained over 600 yards of offense now 6 times in the 13 games under Lane Kiffin. Before Lane, Ole Miss had 600 or more yards of offense in 16 games in the program's 1,209 games all time. That came from Cole Kublik. Matt Corral, he has accounted for 14 touchdowns in his first 3 games. Among the last 10 Heisman winners, only Lamar Jackson accounted for more touchdowns to this point in the season. So Matt Corral, keep him on your Heisman list. You know Lane Kiffin's going to do his best to try to get him as many stats and touchdowns as possible week in and week out. But he's really unstoppable right now. And some people are thinking Ole Miss is going to have a chance against Alabama this year. They're going to have a chance against LSU and all the rest of the teams, Auburn, all the teams in the SEC West. Ole Miss, definitely a team to keep an eye on. Speaking of LSU, my next winner, I'm giving it to the entire LSU team. Look, questions about the offensive line and the ability to protect Max Johnson. They got Austin Deculus back on their O-line this past week. Max Johnson was outstanding on Saturday. Threw for 372 yards, 5 passing touchdowns. Granted, it was Central Michigan they played, but they look better against Central Michigan than they did the week prior against McNeese. Max Johnson became the only SEC quarterback in the last 15 years to throw for 3 touchdown passes in each of his first 5 career starts. That's pretty impressive. Johnson also became the 3rd player in LSU history to throw 5 passing touchdowns in a game. The only other 2 guys to do that, Zach Mettenberger, and of course the great Joe Burrow. The LSU defense, giving them props as well. They continue to sack quarterbacks at a high rate. They got 5 more sacks this week. They continue to lead all of college football with 17 sacks. That's 4 more than Georgia has. Their freshman also really showed out in this game. Freshman receiver Deion Smith had 135 yards, 2 scores. Freshman Jack Besh had 81 yards and a touchdown. Corey Kiner, the running back, 74 yards and a score. They won't play like this every week, but the future looks bright with the freshmen at LSU. LSU looked this week like a lot of us expected them to look before the season. Now they need to figure out how to play at the same level throughout the year, and that starts this Saturday at Mississippi State as they open SEC play. Another winner of the weekend, I'm going with Zach Calzada from Texas A&M. Look, we talked about how bad Calzada was last week coming into the Colorado game for the injured Haynes King, but Calzada was much better this week now that he is a full-time starter. 19 for 33, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT. Calzada really has some nice weapons in Demond Demas, Moose Muhammad, Chase Lane. He spread the ball around well. Should be a big confidence booster for him going up against his first SEC opponent this Saturday, facing Arkansas in Dallas. Aggies are now on an 11-game win streak dating back to last year. It's their longest win streak since 1992. Let's see if they can keep that one going. And our last winner of the week, I'm going with KJ Jefferson from Arkansas. Even after their win over Texas last week, quarterback KJ Jefferson was taking some heat from critics because his offensive numbers weren't all that impressive. Well, this week, against Georgia Southern, Jefferson much better. He threw for 366, 3 touchdowns, no INTs, had another 18 yards rushing. Jefferson is the first Razorback quarterback since 2015 to put up 350 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 passing touchdowns, and no INTs. A big key, though, Treylon Burks, he had 3 catches for 127 yards and a touchdown. Would like to see him get more targets. 91 of those yards came on 1 electrifying play. He is your best go-to target. Let's throw him the ball some more. But a good day overall by Jefferson. And now a real test coming up, taking on this Texas A&M defense. 2 questions I'll pose to you guys as we transition to our losers next. 2 questions. Who's your Heisman favorite, Matt Corral or Bryce Young? And who's your number 1 team in the country at this point? Do you jump Georgia over Alabama because of how dominant Georgia's defense has been and how Alabama kind of struggled with Florida. Just two questions for thought. When we return, we will jump into our losers of the weekend. That's next. Need to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Look, if you're a college football fanatic, you've probably heard about Prize Picks by now. It is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world and offer all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-majors. Prize Picks offers you props on anything you could think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of that is right there for you on Prize Picks. You pick 2 to 5 players and over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Go check out their award-winning app now. You can find it on the App Store and Google Play. Just search Prize Picks. You can also go to their website and find them there. Entries can be made 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Go check them out now. PrizePicks.com or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Going along here, Locked On SEC, and we ran through our winners of the weekend in week 3 of the SEC. Now we need to transition and get into our losers of the weekend because, unfortunately, there was some disappointment. And we start with Mississippi State's punt team coverage. Look, never mind the fact that Will Rogers threw for over 400 yards on 67 pass attempts, that Mekhi Polk or Malik Heath had big receiving days. The story of the Bulldogs' loss at Memphis came on the most unusual punt return for a touchdown by Memphis in the fourth quarter with just over 5 minutes to go. The SEC issued a statement after the game. They argued the punt return should have been at least reviewed after the back judge, who's part of an SEC officiating crew, had signaled to stop the clock after the Bulldogs' punt stopped at the 6-yard line. Nobody saw the signal. Memphis's Calvin Austin saw the ball lying on the turf, picks it up, outruns everyone for a 94-yard touchdown return. The Bulldogs, they touched the ball down, but the whistle never blew. To complicate the situation even more, when you went back and looked at the play, Memphis had not one but two guys wearing the number 4 out there, which obviously is a penalty. So Mississippi State, they take their first loss of the season. They drop to 2-1, and they're hosting LSU this Saturday, an early one Saturday morning. But Mike Leach and company licking their wounds, tough one to swallow. Another loser of the weekend. I'm throwing Shane Beamer in South Carolina in there. The best way to say this is welcome to SEC play, Shane Beamer. The Gamecocks started Zeb Nolan at quarterback for the third straight week after many thought Luke Doty was healthy enough to get the start. Ultimately, Nolan would get hurt with his hand cut after being stepped on, and Luke Doty would end up playing the majority of this game anyway. But the Gamecocks just had no answer for this feisty Georgia defense. No rushing room for Kevin Harris, Marshawn Lloyd, Saquandre White. I like the South Carolina backfield, but they just cannot do anything. A tough first game back for Luke Doty facing this defensive front. After an encouraging 2-0 start to the season for South Carolina, the Gamecocks were certainly humbled in this one. A 40-13 loss, and now they go back home to get ready for a talented Kentucky team. Another loss in the game, linebacker Sherrod Green, who was carted off the field early in the game. Veteran linebackers playing 38 career games, made 27 starts, the most on the team. Had a hip fracture last season in versus Tennessee in the opener that ended his year. And this injury appeared to be a lower leg injury. Shane Beamer said he is going to be out a while. So tough one to lose Sherrod Green, and a tough one to lose in that fashion that you did after all the positivity in the first 2 weeks of the season. But maybe you throw your hands up and say, look, South Carolina's just that good, or Georgia's just that good, and South Carolina, you're going to bounce back and win a couple games here in the SEC in the coming weeks. Next up in my loser category, I hate to do this because, you know, it's such a blanket statement, because they had some good moments on Saturday night, but the Auburn defense. Outside of Roger McCreary and a team sack, Auburn's defense, defense coordinator Derek Mason, really struggled to slow down Penn State. The Nittany Lions put up almost 400 yards of total offense. They were 50% on third down conversions. They did hold Penn State under 100 rush yards, but quarterback Sean Clifford had his way. 280 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. Auburn defense was not awful, don't get me wrong, but in a game that seemed like it was going to be a lower scoring game, There are times where Auburn's defense just could knock it off the field. They get a bounce-back spot this week hosting Georgia Southern. One thing I'll say, they do need to change the targeting rule. Linebacker Zakobi McClain was ejected from the game after a hit at the goal line to keep Penn State's Parker Washington out of the end zone. Question is, what was he supposed to do? Try not to let him score there. Can't help that his helmet happened to make contact with the player's helmet while going down to the ground. But as a result, McClain will miss the first half against Georgia State because of that call. The targeting rule has got to change. Just about everybody across college football agrees with that statement. Another loser of the weekend. How about Brian Harsin's fourth and goal call? You got Auburn trailing by eight late in this one. They're putting together a solid drive, a 24-yard run by Hunter, which includes him hurdling a defender. They get down inside the 10 for a first and goal with just over 4 minutes to play. First down to Bo Nix, incomplete pass. Second down, Tank Bigsby runs for 1 yard. Third down, a 7-yard completion from Nix to John Samuel Shanker down to the 2-yard line. Auburn calls a timeout. And on fourth down, where you have 2 yards to get for the would-be tying score, they call a Bo Nix fade pass to Kobe Hudson, which Nix sails over everybody's head out of bounds. I just didn't like the play call. I would have preferred something more catchable, a slant, or maybe even could have tried to run the ball. Maybe you call a Bo Nix keeper. I just did not like that Mike Bobo didn't even give his team a chance there. Didn't even give them the best chance to score on that play. So rework it, find a better fourth and goal call next time, Auburn. But they end up taking the loss up at Penn State. Penn State acts like they just won the Super Bowl or a college football playoff game. Look, let them have it. They didn't even make a bowl game last year, so let James Franklin and his team have a little bit of success there. Another loser of the weekend. I'm throwing Kentucky in there. Look, be happy you found a way to get the win, but after all the praise we heaped on the Wildcats through the first few weeks, they certainly sleptwalk through this one. A 28-23 win over UT Chattanooga, a game where the Mocs had a lead at the start of the fourth quarter. Some people even joked that the offense bogged down with the return of Eddie Grand coming back on the staff. But Will Levis, he threw 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and the Wildcat rushing attack nearly non-existent. Chris Rodriguez held to under 50 rushing yards. Wandale Robinson, he had another 100-yard receiving day. But the Cats need to get themselves refocused heading on the road to play a desperate South Carolina team this week. Our next loser of the weekend, I'm going with Vanderbilt. The Commodores were home underdogs against Stanford on Saturday, and they looked every bit of it. They went on to lose 41-23. Vandy was lucky to get a win last week on the road at Colorado State, but they were just overmatched by a more talented Stanford team. Ken Seals, quarterback, completed less than 50% of his passes. Vandy did run the ball well, ran for over 240 yards. Rocco Griffin had 100 rush yards. But Stanford put up over 400 total yards of offense. Clark Lee falls to 1-2 on the season, and it does not get any easier for the Commodores. Guess who comes to town this week? Georgia. Eek. And speaking of Georgia, my last, maybe not call him a loser, but kind of what the hell was that moment this past week? Stetson Bennett. We heard rumblings all last week that JT Daniels may not start this past week against South Carolina, that Georgia could roll with Stetson Bennett again. But Daniels did end up starting the game. He leads the Bulldogs on 2 early touchdown drives. So late in the first quarter, up 14-0, Georgia decides to put in Stetson Bennett for a drive. And on the second play of that drive, he throws an interception. And then they immediately go back to JT Daniels. Bennett did come back into the game later in mop-up duty. But what in the world were they thinking putting Stetson Bennett into the game that early? A very strange decision by the Georgia Bulldogs. Luckily, it's not one that cost them very dearly. All right, there you go. Those are your losers of week 3 in the SEC. When we return, we'll give you some honorable mention candidates. That's next. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at Sweat Block. It is doctor created, doctor recommended. The Sweat Block wipes, they work for up to 7 days per use. What is Sweat Block? Well, look, you guys know, if you were out at the games this past weekend, if you're out tailgating, you're sweating through your shirt. I even saw some folks tweeting in the pictures at the Florida game that they had just sweat stains all over their shirt. You don't want to be the guy who's pitting unnecessarily. go check out our friends at SweatBlock. They have the SweatBlock antiperspirant wipes. They're stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply put it on at night, you go to bed, you wake up the next morning, you wash, you go about your day without worrying about sweat. It is guaranteed. I know it sounds too good to be true, but if you or somebody you know is dealing with this, you got to go check out our friends at SweatBlock. You can get them today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You can also find them at Amazon and at CVS. Sweatblock.com. Get 20% off with the promo code LOCKEDON. Check them out today. Always good to remind you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Starting to get towards the end of the year, maybe some of you guys stop running outside, you start to go back to the gym, you start weightlifting a little bit more. You want to have a healthy alternative to some of the junk food you might be picking up at the local grocery store or gas station or whatever you're doing on the go. Go check them out at BuiltBar.com. 9 delicious flavors from coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie. They've got something for everybody. If you haven't tried them all, get the mix box. I tell you guys about it all the time. You get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. You can try them all. Find which one you like the most. Built Bars, not only are they the best tasting, they're healthy too. 17 grams of protein packed into most of them. Only 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Check them out today. Going along here, Locked On SEC, and we're recapping all the action from Week 3 across the conference. We gave you our Week 1 winners and losers, and now I want to get to a little bit of our honorable mention candidates. And we start over at Missouri. Connor Bazelak played Southeast Missouri State. You figured Missouri would roll, and they did, but Connor Bazelak continued his solid play. Had a good game last week at Kentucky. And this week went 21 for 30, 346 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyler Beatty, he had 81 rush yards, 3 total touchdowns. But a solid day from Bazelak as they head up to Boston College this weekend. Kind of an odd Week 4 matchup. But BC is 3-0 on the year, and they've been playing really good defensively. Good day from Connor Bazelak. Let's see if he can keep that going this week at Boston College. Another honorable mention, throw Hendon Hooker in there. He got the start for the Vols this past weekend with Joe Milton. Still not 100%. Hooker played pretty well, showed his versatility, threw for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, rushed for 64 yards and a rushing touchdown, spread the ball around well, hit Valus Jones, Javonte Payton, Jimmy Calloway had a catch, had a couple fumbles, needs to clean that up, but a little concerned. Tyon Evans, averaged less than 3 yards a carry, and look, while the opponent was Tennessee Tech, should be a confidence booster for Hooker as he appears to be the guy for now with Milton out, but a brutal test for the Vols this week, heading on the road at the Swamp. Night game on ESPN. The Gators are going to be hungry after that close loss to Alabama. Also want to give a quick shout out to Byron Young, the pass rusher, making his first start for the Vols. Had 6 tackles, tied for the most with Aubrey Solomon. Vols had 4 sacks, 4 picks, pick 6. Solid day for them in a 56-0 shutout. And a big positive since Josh Heupel has taken over. The Vols have scored 128 total points. That's an average of over 40 points a game. Certainly a plus after that dismal offense last year, where they scored less than 20 points 6 times last season. Another honorable mention, I'm putting everybody else on the Ole Miss offense not named Matt Corral. Corral grabs the headlines, but he's working with some great weapons. Jerry Anealy had over 100 rush yards this week again. Henry Parris, 64 yards. Snoop Connor, 42 rushing. And then receiving, Jonathan Mingo, over 100 yards. Braylon Sanders, Dontario Drummond. All 3 receivers had a touchdown. Lane Kiffin and Jeff Lebby, they just have so many offensive weapons to utilize. And all the rest of those guys deserve a tip of the cap. Another honorable mention, I'm going to throw a South Carolina wide receiver, Josh Van, in there. He has really turned into a go-to target in the Gamecocks receiving corps. 3 catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown versus that really good Georgia defense. He had 5 catches for 127 last week at ECU, another touchdown in Week 1. Josh Van, one of those elite-level offensive weapons for a Gamecocks team that's looking for playmakers, and he's one of them. Another honorable mention this week, I'll give it to JT Daniels. Mentioned earlier, we didn't know if he would start this past weekend. He did, and he was very good. 23 for 31, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT. It was Daniels' 3rd 300-yard passing game since he's come to Georgia. Looked more like that Heisman contender a lot of people thought he could be before the season. Key for him will be keeping that up throughout the season, because if Georgia keeps winning and stays on a roll here, he could find his name back in the Heisman contention up top. Another honorable mention this week, I'm giving it to Mike Elko, the Texas A&M defensive coordinator. Kept the Aggies in the game last week in their win against Colorado. And this past week faced a lesser opponent, New Mexico. But the Aggie defense, they get the shutout. They win 34-0. Four sacks on the day for A&M. DeMarvin Leal, he had 1.5. They also had an interception. They held former Kentucky quarterback Terry Wilson to just 33 passing yards. Held the Lobos to only 89 rushing yards. 122 total yards of offense. A big test for the top 10 Aggies this week, taking on a feisty Arkansas team over in Dallas. That is going to be a fun game to watch. And lastly, honorable mention, I'll give it to Auburn's running game. It was not easy. Penn State, very aggressive on defense this past week, but the Auburn running backs, Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter, had some really nice runs. Bigsby went over 100 yards with two touchdowns. Hunter had another 63 yards on 9 carries. Bo Nix in the passing game had just been a little bit better. They could have gotten the lead, rode that run game to a victory, but just wasn't in the cards. They fell to Penn State 28-20, but nothing to hang your head about, Auburn. Auburn's going to win some games this season. They're not supposed to. So you take some positives away from that loss to Penn State, and there you have it. Those are our honorable mentions of the week. And we put a cap on week 3 of the SEC. Tomorrow on the show, we'll start to turn the page, look ahead to some of the games happening this week in the SEC. And, of course, a lot to be happy about for a lot of teams as we head into week 4. Quick reminder, the bet on betting on the SEC doesn't have to be a guessing game. You can listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling. Get Lee's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. It's going to do it for me, Chris Gordy. You guys have a great day out there. We'll be back tomorrow talking more things all SEC. You guys have a great day.